Welcome to Coaster Track, a UK theme park podcast in association with Scaretrack. Please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Coaster Track, Scaretrack, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's begin the show.
You're listening to Coaster Track, a UK theme park podcast.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Coaster Track podcast brought to you by Scaretrack. It's a studio episode today and it's myself, Mikey, and I am here with Hannah, my glorious wife. How's it going?
It's going well.
All good. Excellent. We live together, so we see each other regularly. But yes, we haven't done a Coaster Track episode for quite a while now. We have got a nice handful over on the network, on the podcast, so you can go back into this feed and check out all the interviews we've done with the likes of Kip Hakes and whatnot over on our Coaster Track podcast episodes. But we haven't really done a discussion debate episode as such about theme parks yet, and we want to bring you a whole episode about COVID-19 secure theme parks and all that kind of stuff. Now, we have done a few mini Coaster Track vlogs that you can check out now on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/scaretrack.
I've also done a couple of beer breaks showing what food and drink outlets are open in these crazy COVID times and what ordering looks like. I've done Blackpool Pleasure Beach and Orton Towers so far, so be sure to check those out.
Definitely. And then the very first episode was all the way back in February where you bought one from West Midland Safari Park.
Forever ago.
Yeah, it was a great day, but it does feel like time has gone weird.
The world
weird.
Has changed since then.
Big time. If we were to say to each other this time last year, Mikey and Hannah would be bringing you a Coaster Track episode about talking how theme parks work in a global pandemic where you have to wear masks and keep 2 meters away from everyone, no one would believe us and we probably would have got sectioned. And here it is, it's real. But yeah, beer break's going really good. People are really enjoying it, actually. Not as much as I am.
Yeah.
But it's not just about having a beer. Obviously, Hannah likes to drink. It's great to see what's available at parks, food-wise, alcohol-wise, soft drink-wise, snack-wise as well. And Blackpool Pleasure Beach is great for that, along with, obviously, the Merlin Parks, like we said, we've done Orton Towers. But Coaster Track episodes are on YouTube, along with beer breaks, along with some scare cams as well. So check all that out over on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/scaretrack. And like I say, give us a subscribe on there, folks. It really, really does help us out. Click that little thumbs up button as well on a video that you enjoy. And be sure to click that bell notification so you are notified for the next Coaster Track or scare cam, or of course Hannah's new venture beer break. So yeah, lots of stuff there. We have been to a few theme parks during COVID-19 and all their procedures and whatnot, and we thought we'd discuss that on this episode. So without any further ado, let's take you to this discussion and debate episode of the Coaster Track podcast, talking all about COVID secure theme parks.
You're listening to the Coaster Track podcast.
Okay, so like Mikey mentioned, we've visited a few theme parks now. I think that we should start off with Blackpool Pleasure Beach.
Yeah, definitely. So we've done two theme parks during COVID-19. It's first of all great to have them back open. If they can do it safely and securely, it's great. The fact that things are starting to open up slowly but surely is a good thing. It's a good sign. Hopefully things can move a little bit faster as things get better. Touch wood, fingers crossed, all that palaver. But yeah, let's talk about Blackpool Pleasure Beach first, and then we'll go on to our Orton Towers visit afterwards as well. Now, we need to point out that obviously the park can only do so much. The other part is down to us. It's down to you. It's down to individuals. It's down to people to make sure we are all safe, secure, and having a good time in a safe and secure way as well.
And the main concern is that it's down to Karen.
blooming Karens.
Karen to do it as well as us.
Yes, absolutely. So we went to Blackpool Pleasure Beach, and it's worth noting that we went on a off-peak day. Mm-hmm. So the park was, I wouldn't say it was dead.
It was about 3,000 people, was it?
Something like that. It was still, which is, you know, which is lower, obviously a hugely lowered capacity. Quite steady day. The Blackpool, the big one, Petsmas big one, was only on one train, so it still was nearly an hour to get on it. But Icon was walk on. The likes of Revolution was walk on. We didn't go on it, but quite a handful of rides that were relatively walk on ish, mm-hmm. or a few like things like Steeplechase to get a bit
like
of a queue.
5-10 minutes, that
yeah,
kind of thing.
So it was quite a nice steady day. Now that obviously will have an impact compared to when you're there on a completely packed out day, and I want to talk about that in a little bit as well. So our day first, we first of all had a great day. We didn't do a huge number of rides, but we did get on
We did most.
We skipped, Pepsi Max,
we
big
skipped
one.
Revolution and Infusion.
And, oh, our cat's joined us. Yeah, Revolution. We also didn't do Steeplechase. We also didn't do Grand National. We also
didn't do any
Big
of the
Dipper.
Woodies, really.
The only Woody we did was Nickelodeon Street. So that shows how good Hannah's memory is.
But I think that's just because with my old age, I forget those because I don't want to go on them because they're too rough.
Yeah. You can't take the roughness. But, but we had a great day nonetheless. We still managed to get a couple of goes on Icon. I had a couple of goes on Pepsi Max Big One. We went on Dora. Gotta love a bit of Dora the Explorer.
Dora's final audio wasn't working.
We didn't get to say
me
how.
I am still livid that I couldn't say me how to my friends around the world.
But it was still a good ride.
It was really good.
Yeah, it was
fun. Really, like, throughout the whole of Blackpool Pleasure Beach, I really commend their social distancing whilst keeping a fun atmosphere. Like, it wasn't reminding us all the time, and it wasn't, you know, people shouting at each other. Everyone, and like I'm saying, it was an off-peak day. I know that this isn't the same for peak time, but everyone was very mindful, and even when people weren't mindful, we'd say, can you back up?
Yeah.
And they'd back up.
I wasn't quite polite with one group, but anyway. Let's talk about the procedures that they've put in place. Now, obviously, they say that they sell less tickets, basically. Mm-hmm. So they've capped capacity. Now, whether or not that's enough during these peak days, we can't speak for that. We have been hearing quite a few rumblings, obviously, on social media that they are letting too many people in the park. We can't comment on that. By looking at photos, I could possibly agree. However, photos is all about angles.
Yeah.
We know this. It's all about the angle, you know. To get that good selfie, you want it from the top. To make sure that the theme park looks really busy, you do a photo that makes it look busy. Whereas, actually, if you put it in perspective and you took that photo from a different angle, maybe it doesn't look as busy as it is. But we can't speak for other people. Maybe it has been a little bit too busy at the parks, and maybe they should look at having slightly less people in the park during the peak days. But then people would moan that they can't get a ticket.
Yeah.
It's a cash 22. The thing is that Blackpool Pleasure Beach actually isn't the biggest place in the world. Surprise. It seems it, but it's not huge. So there might be some times where one area is actually really quiet, but another area has been, you know, say if Icon all of a sudden opens because it's been down for half the day, potentially there's going to be quite a handful of people there. So it all depends on how people are around each other, but that is up to individuals on how close they get to each other.
Yeah,
but also
exactly.
as well, you have these theme parks are selling tickets based on they have procedures in place, that they have hand sanitizers, they have floor markers, that they have got the capped capacity. Now people on Instagram, Facebook, all the social medias are having a little bit of debates and discussions and sometimes arguments. But we like to keep it fair and, you know, although we give our opinion, it's a fair and honest one. If you are buying a ticket to a theme park, you do have the right to feel that you're safe there.
Yeah.
When I go to Asda and there's too many people in Asda, I'll be told to wait outside to get in. Tesco's are available, and so is Aldi. There's other shops are available. But there's a little bit of a discussion of people saying you can't moan that there's too many people at a theme park when you're at a theme park. Now, I think you can, because you've bought a ticket on the premise that you are going to feel safe within their grounds. And now everyone who sells a ticket for any kind of event has what they call a duty of care. And Blackpool Pleasure Beach, Horton Towers, all these parks, they do have a duty of care. Now, again, I haven't been there on a crazy peak busy day, so I can't speak for our experience there. We felt very safe at the park, and we'll get onto a few procedures that they put in place in a moment. But when it comes to the capacity and people moaning on Twitter, you know who you are. Sometimes it is up to the park to a certain degree. People as well, obviously, if there's a massive group of people, maybe not hang around in that area and go to a quiet area. But if people do think that maybe they have sold too many tickets, Chessington's been getting quite a bad rep recently, purely because anywhere someone goes to try and social distance, they're struggling because they feel people have sold too many tickets.
I think it's mainly about customers managing their expectations. They need to understand that there is, for some parks, half the capacity. So some parks, 10,000 people less per day are coming through the gates, but the rides are still operating the same, but with less capacity in the rides, and your queues are more staggered, so that every time you could have fitted another person in, there's a gap. So people need to manage their expectations that, yes, there's going to be queues. Yes, you may not get to sit next to each other because of social distancing. Yes, there will be people that ignore social distancing and you will have to ask them to move. Yes, there will be queues for food. Like, it's the whole world now is that people want to go and enjoy themselves, but they need to understand that other people want to do the same.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely. And so that might mean, like Hannah says, you have to wait a little bit longer while they clean a ride and stuff like that. And we completely understand
It's exactly the same, because I work in pubs and restaurants. It's exactly the same with us. You need to manage your expectations. There will be a queue to get in. You will wait longer for food. You will wait longer for drinks because there's less staff because of social distancing. It's just the way of the world right now.
It's just the way it is right now. We've got to live through it. But the main thing is that they've been able to get them open. Yeah. And like I say, a park can only do so much. And I believe with our visit, so the positives that we saw lots of hand sanitising stations, mm-hmm. which is great, before every ride. I do feel that they should put them at the end of each ride as well.
Yeah.
Because it's all well and good being clean when you're on it. But what if someone hasn't used it and then you're touching it?
I remember I was getting to the top of the big one and I wasn't sure whether I wanted to hold on to the railing because I wasn't sure if it was clean, or hold on my mask to make sure it was on. And in the end, I went for neither and we were on the back row.
Yeah, it was a pretty
so
intense
ride. So
completely
flung me over.
Definitely. It was rough, but great. But yeah, it's, you know, and they're, especially with Blackpool we're talking about now, that their floor markings are great. I love the fact that they use please stand behind the yellow line, which is just a, you know, a major quote for
every
Blackpool
time
Pleasure
you
Beach.
See it, you hear the
you
voice.
You hear the voice, yeah. Good old Blackpool. It has a lot of heritage and history, Blackpool, and we love it for that as well, whilst they're also trying to move the park into the 21st century with the likes of Icon as well. So a good mixture. But yeah, the floor markers are great. Icon has its own type of markers where they've put up all the red daggers. They are good. They look cool. Most people seem to follow them. You will get a few idiots. We had a couple of kids in our group that we did have to remind them to move back a bit. But we said this on our Coaster Track vlog, which was actually from the Orton Towers vlog. But what we've noticed at both theme parks, we've been to a couple of restaurants and pubs. I go and do my weekly shop. I run a food bank at the moment because I'm out of work. And the main people who do not social distance, who don't wear their mask correctly, Hannah, who are they?
Karen.
Middle-aged women. Now, that's not me trying to be sexist or ageist in any way. And yes, I completely understand. You will have 15-year-olds that don't social distance.
It's just an observation
it's just,
we've made.
Absolutely. And there will be elderly people that don't want to do it. There'll be people our age that don't
want
to do it.
I'm working 60 to 70 hours a week in a public sector. I work in hospitality. So I am hands-on with these people. And I see the same thing as I do
every
in theme
day.
Parks at work. It is the generation above us that are just completely disregarding it. Someone laughed at me the other day because I didn't want to take his money because I wasn't sure where it'd been. And because I had a face shield and a mask on.
You still took it, obviously.
I took it, But I sanitised my hands, and he laughed, and he was like, "You're not going to catch anything." It's mm-hmm. like, well, you don't know that.
Yeah. I was going into, I was actually picking Hannah up from work, and I went through, obviously with pubs, if it's possible, they're doing an entrance and an exit, and I went through the entrance. Now, it don't get me wrong, I can understand that things are changing and people need to get used to it, but when there's a massive arrow, when there's a huge sign saying entrance only, and another huge sign saying exit only, they've narrowed it so you can only fit one person through at a time. When I have a middle-aged couple then walk through, bump next to me to try and walk out, and I explain to them very nicely, guys, this is the out only, he then threatened to punch my face in. He took one look at me and backed off because I'm a beast. But
he's hard, man, isn't
yeah. I just turned around. I was really tired. I had no sleep whatsoever, and I was just like, go home, mate. Just go home. And he did. He went home and has nightmares about me every single day. But
and his barn. So another park we went to was Orton Towers. We visited on a peak day, so the schools had broken up. Not that they were back for long, but they'd broken up.
Well, hardly any schools went back at all.
It was meant to be the only sunny day of the week and turned out to be a rainy day.
It was cold. I was in shorts and t-shirts. It was freezing.
But it was still a really busy day on park. I would... We didn't actually go on any rides.
We did one ride.
But all the rides were on hour plus waits.
Yeah, yeah. So we can't actually... basically, I herniated a disc, so I was...
2 days after we bought an annual pass. Hey!
Well done, Mikey, well done. And we weren't going to go, really, but we saw that the dungeons had reopened, so we decided to do a scare cam episode of the... Orton Towers Dungeons, which you can check out on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/scaretrack.
We tried to have a look and see if we could see anything for Gangster Granny, but couldn't see anything over the wall.
Couldn't see anything while Hannah was doing some parkour. But we thought, let's go there. I had a crutch just in case. I was struggling a little bit. And we just wanted to get the vibe of the park. And like we say, we only did one ride, which was Jewel. And it was a very short queue for that, to be fair. We were queuing outside because obviously people were social distancing. Now, the thing we noticed with the social distancing, really, is it is a 50-50 thing. Now, I can stay as far back as I want from the person in front of me. If I want to keep 3 metres, 4 metres, 5 metres, I don't. I keep 2 metres, I can. But it's then the other 50% of that idiot behind you. Yeah. And in fairness, no one really... They were good in Jewel.
It infuriated me that the woman in front of us, although socially distanced from us and the woman in front of her, proceeded to touch everything. Like inside the Jewel house. Like everything.
She touched the door,
railing,
the door, everything.
What is the point in social distancing if you're going to continue to touch everything?
Yeah, it was a bit odd. Obviously, there was hand sanitizers before you got into the queue, but it's kind of not the point. It's like, I understand if you're going down some steps, you want to hold a handrail. If you're opening a door, you're probably going
to
open the door.
It is wonky floor, but it's not that bad.
You don't need to. She was holding on for dear life to everything. So it was a bit bizarre. But overall, like I say, it was only a short queue. And we can always social distance on the people in front of us. But it's the people behind you, isn't it, that's going to be the issue. And we didn't really have any issues in Jewel. But that's because we didn't do many other rides. Obviously, it was a peak day.
I really enjoyed Jewel. They were cleaning the guns and the lap bars in between every use. So obviously you get off at the end and then the train goes through a curtain and then new people get on. So in between the curtain... There was someone jumping on and giving everything a quick sanitise, which I thought was really good. We didn't touch the guns, but I saw other people touching the guns.
I never use a gun anyway. I prefer it without the gun.
Which, you know, is everyone else's prerogative. I really enjoyed just actually sitting back and looking at Jewel for the way it was.
Yeah.
It had a lot more UV lighting than it's had in the past. Some scenes were still lackluster compared to what they have been before.
There was a few broken bits.
But it was really nice just to see it pumped full of smoke again.
Yeah, it was great. We had a good ride. We enjoyed it. And we always love a good... Any sort of dark ride. I sometimes prefer dark rides to coasters nowadays sometimes. Probably because I have a herniated
you
disc.
You heard it here first.
But as far as the park's going, lots of hand sanitizers around, which is fantastic. Floor markers. They don't look quite as cool as the ones at Blackpool Pleasure Beach. It is just literally a painted on, but it does the job. The one thing I will say that Orton Towers have excelled at is their signage. Now, I'm a sucker for some good signage, and their signage is very obvious, very clear, very helpful to make you feel that you can have a safe environment and a safe day out. And they were doing temperature checks, mm-hmm. which I liked as well. Now, I'm going to be 100% honest. I think temperature checks is purely just to give consumer confidence. You know, I very much doubt out of the hundreds of thousands of people that have been temperature checked that they've ever turned anyone away. I might be wrong. If anyone knows, let me know. But, you know, I know it is mainly for consumer confidence.
To be honest, if your fever's peaks above like 95 degrees or whatever it is that it needs to be, you probably don't feel up to a theme park.
Well, yeah,
so
you probably wouldn't go.
Yeah.
Well, that's the idea. That's the idea anyway. They don't want people to go if you got COVID symptoms. Again, they put that on the tickets, on the website and whatnot.
I couldn't imagine anything worse than trying to do a theme park when you're unwell.
No, definitely.
I've done it with a hangover before and it's the worst.
It is the worst. Definitely. Europa Park after a night at the Forbidden or the Vampire Club.
I threw up in a child's toilet. Yeah. It was horrific.
It was all cleaned afterwards. But yeah, it was Orton Towers. Their signage is good. They didn't do temperature checks at Blackpool Pleasure Beach, so that's one difference there. I didn't see as much signage at Blackpool Pleasure Beach, but I would say they've got some good floor markers. They did a few announcements over there, Blackpool Pleasure Beach Radio. Orton Towers, although it was a busy day, I do think, other than us going in queues on the day we went there, I felt that everyone was quite socially distant to each other.
There was a couple of people that weren't, but as soon as you remind them, everyone was dead like, oh, I'm sorry. Like,
and sometimes it can be
hard. A guy in the welcoming bar was impeaching? Is that a word?
Impeaching
on my space. And it was purely because he was trying to see what was on offer. But it made me uncomfortable. And the bar person reminded him of social distancing. And he apologised and backed off.
He also wasn't wearing a mask yet to remind him about a mask. Which, again, I mean, I get it. Sometimes it is a bit, oh shit, yeah, I forgot to do this. Or sometimes I've been walking somewhere thinking, Hannah, slow down because you're getting too close to the person in front. Or,
oh, yeah, I forget all the time.
And it's not vicious or nasty or stupid. It's just a case of sometimes it is easy when you're in the middle of an hour-long queue to go, oh, crikey, no, I need to slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is understandable. But yeah, in my opinion, the two theme parks that we've done as we're wrapping up here now, when it comes to floor markings, great job. Signage, great job. Hand sanitizers, great job. Although I think they should have them afterwards as well as before. Orton Towers doing the temperature checks. The capacity thing, again, we didn't go to Blackpool Pleasure Beach on their peak day. We haven't been to Chessington, which is another park I understand has been having issues.
But I think everyone needs to understand that it's the summer holidays. Like, of course it's going to be busy.
But you've got to argue as well that if you're buying a ticket, and we need to talk about tickets before we go very quickly because we had a few issues in trying to actually get to the park with an annual pass. If you're buying a ticket and they're saying we've capped capacity, which they obviously have, so it's easy to social distance. If you're actually in a park and you're like, it's rammed, I can't move, I wish I hadn't bought a ticket, that's when I think they need to relook at numbers potentially. And looking at some photos, like I say, it depends on angles, but I've seen some blogs, I've seen some whatnot, and sometimes I do think maybe they have sold just an extra 500 too many, and if 500 people less, maybe.
No, I get that, but then I've also seen people going and everything's been socially distanced and secure, and because they've had to queue for an hour, they think it's outrageous.
Oh, well, get a grip, people. Get in the bin. Seriously. But yeah, you've just got to take the rough with the smooth. Exactly. Keep yourself safe, and that's the main thing, really, during these crazy times. But yeah, tickets-wise, I mean, with Blackpool Pleasure Beach, we were able to go on our Europa Park annual passes. It is worth reaching out to the park beforehand. We contacted the park via social media and didn't get a reply off our personal pages, this was, but via email, Miss Kate Monroe, another member of the team, emailed saying, are we able to use our passes? And because it was a day that wasn't sold out, we were able to use them. If it's a day that might be sold out in advance, which at the moment in the summer holidays, because they have capped capacity, whether or not they've done what numbers they're doing, we don't know. you might find it a little bit more difficult. I don't know what the scenario is if you have a Diamond Pass or one of the annual passes for the park there, but just go onto their website, check it out. They'll be able to give you the information there. When it comes to Orton Towers, we decided to get annual passes because it's a steal at £12 a month on the membership.
It wasn't that we decided. We went to buy day tickets and then the website prompted us, why don't you get a season pass instead? So we debated it and we were like, actually, yeah, we should get a season pass. Yeah. Looked
we
at
used
the prices,
to have them before.
And then the website after that said, have you thought about a Merlin annual pass? To which we were like, well, it's only about £10 more than a season pass and it means we can go during Scarefest. You know what? Let's get an annual pass.
Yeah, the premium annual pass. So it's like £40 up front and then £12 a month, which if you're going to use it is well worth it, obviously.
So for not much more than the day ticket price, which is what we were originally going for, we'd managed to get a Merlin annual pass. Brilliant. Went to book for the date we were going for, unavailable.
Yeah, now that's the issue.
But it's because the website prompted us to upgrade...
That we did.
From the date we wanted.
So we had to go a week and a half later.
So we had to change our date because we'd upgraded.
Yeah. Which in hindsight worked out because I fell over and herniated a disc.
Well, yeah, to be honest.
It is something that I think they may need to look at because, granted, during the summer holidays, it's all a little bit different, especially when they are capping capacity. However, we wanted to go on the Tuesday, which was at the time of booking in 3 days' time. There was space available to book a general admission ticket. There was not space available to book an annual pass ticket. The closest
date...
Which
everyone's finding at the minute.
Yeah, which... Yeah, the earliest date was 10 days in advance. Now, I completely understand that Orton Towers just can't constantly let in all the annual pass holders because they'll make no money. They need to claw back the money. I understand that. However, it was quite annoying knowing that the park hadn't hit capacity, yet we still couldn't go. Granted, hindsight, I broke my back, but that is a bit annoying. You would have thought that potentially, maybe 24 hours before, if they haven't sold all their tickets, well, let the remaining tickets go to annual pass holders. Because guess what? Secondary spends. We bought merch, we bought beer, we bought drink. We spent probably an extra £150 that day.
We spent far too much money at a lackluster roller coaster restaurant.
Roller coaster restaurant was absolutely diabolical. That's an episode for another day.
The food was great.
Everything else was shocking.
Yeah.
But that you'll be able to check that out on The Beer Break, which is on youtube.com/scaretrack. But yeah, I think that's the only issue really, is the fact that we wanted to go, and it is difficult, don't get me wrong. I mean, all parks around the world are having to deal with this in different ways. Europa Park, you can only visit 3 times within a month on their annual passes. I'm not sure what they're doing in the States, but I do know that Disney have stopped doing the 14-day pass for on attraction tickets and whatnot. And I think that's next year as well. So that is going to be a difficult one for people travelling over there in the new year. So parks are having to do things a little bit different. I completely understand that it's booking for £1. I can handle £1. That's absolutely fine. I do think it's a bit wrong and a bit not good when your annual pass holders can't visit even though you haven't sold a day out.
Yeah.
You know, just 24 hours before.
It's put me so on edge. I want to go to the first official day of Oktoberfest at Thorpe Park. Well, they've changed the date so many times that I've now pre-booked day one of their event, and that's probably going to change soon.
Potentially, but again, that's not their fault.
It's not their fault, but I know that if I don't book it now,
there's a chance you won't be able to.
Which
is fine if it is all pre-booked with full price tickets. We need to get these parks making money, but it's not okay if they turn out to have another 1,000 spaces left in the park, and we're like, you can cut. It's basically saying, we've got space in the park. If you want to spend £50, you can come in. If you want to spend £1, you can't, even though you're an annual pass holder.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those, isn't it? It's a difficult situation, but I do think it needs looking at that. Even just like I say, if 24 hours before they've got space, open up the space, because the secondary spends, you're going to make more money.
Yeah. If they find that they've got loads of capacity left, just let us know. We're more than happy to come on a day's whim.
Yes. Yeah. It's the UK. It's not like anywhere's really far.
No.
I mean,
London's our furthest. Thorpe Park's our furthest.
Still only 3 hours. It's not like the States where you've got to travel a day.
4 hours if we want to go to London Dungeons and Madame Tussauds.
So
I don't think there's anything souther than that.
I don't. Souther. Chessington's a bit further, I think. But hey-ho.
Oh, it's still London, isn't
it? Yeah, they're quite close. And Legoland Windsor. So anything that's further afield is still not hugely difficult for a vast majority of people in the living in the UK. We're a small country. But yeah, that's the only thing I'd say, really. Other than that, a positive vibe from both parks when we visited. Like I say, the social distancing overall is decent. Lots of hand sanitizers, maybe had a few more. But people got to argue as well, there are toilets. You can wash your hands. A few places have put hand sanitizers next to the toilets, which I don't quite understand because there's toilets to wash your hands.
We have hand sanitizers next to our toilets at work.
Why?
Because you wash your hands and then you have to open doors.
Well,
and if you go back to sit to your table and eat food.
But at Orton Towers, you don't open doors at the toilets.
Mm.
They're all open. But you do at Blackpool Pleasure Beach. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
You're listening to the Coaster Track Podcast.
So there we go, folks. We waffled on a little bit there, but I think everything we said made sense. And if you guys are a little bit anxious of maybe going to a theme park, I would potentially say maybe wait till after the summer holidays.
Mm-hmm.
But we would do that in a normal world, never mind a COVID world. You know, the fact that we went during the summer holidays was a bit crazy on us. But yeah. Hopefully,
and we're probably going to do it again.
Probably, more than likely. We'll need to book 10 days in advance, it would seem, but we'll have to check that out. But yeah, the parks are really doing everything they can to make it COVID secure. Moving forward with, obviously, we do a Scare Track, which is our main podcast, and this is our sister podcast of Coaster Track. But Passage del Terror at Blackpool Pleasure Beach has now reopened.
Yay!
Which is great. And there you go in through your little social bubble or your group. So me and Hannah would go in just us two. all actors are in masks, but they're putting makeup over their masks, so it's not always as obvious. And they're scaring from a meter away, which actors can scare from a meter away. It's easily done. We did the retreat. People were scaring us from 10 meters away.
That was when it was minimum 2, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And so you can get scares from further away. And we did do an episode, which is probably really worth checking out, guys, if you want to learn about a few logistics of how to run a haunt or scare attraction in a COVID-19 world. We interviewed Spencer Terry from Fear Factory SLC in Salt Lake City in Utah. He's also on...
is that what SLC means?
Salt Lake City.
Who knew?
Me. So, yeah, but we spoke to him and he gave some fantastic ideas about how to run a scare attraction during COVID-19. He was the only one in the UK, in the world, the first one to reopen during the pandemic in the States. And it's a little bit pricey to put things in place, but it can be done. We've seen it be done. It's worked. And they've put together a 60-page contingency plan, which we actually have put in, as part of a link along with the episode, and sent that to literally every single scare attraction company here in the UK. Most of them opened it straight away, got straight back to me and really appreciated what we did. And obviously we're just relaying the information and hard work that the Fear Factory team did. But I think it's helped to them potentially feel like they might be able to open in October. The fact that Passage can open is great. The dungeons, again, we won't talk about it too much here because we have done a full episode on Scarecam, youtube.com/scaretrack. Check that out. And we go through all the information on how the dungeons can be done COVID secure. I preferred it before. I preferred it more than before because it was a smaller group and it all felt more personal. It was great. We're moving in the right direction, guys. Fingers crossed we can continue to carry on. And I hope that we can get to a proper normal ASAP. But yeah, they're the parks during a COVID-19 world. Remember to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening to it. If you want to check out our website, it's www.scaretrack.co.uk. We're also on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter and Facebook. Just search for Scaretrack, our main site. We're all on there as well. Hannah, it's been cool chatting all about our visits to theme parks. We need to go to another theme park, don't we, really?
I'm excited.
Who knows? Maybe we try out Drayton Manor. It's just been bought out by the Loopings company. So I'm looking forward to hopefully a brighter future for that park. Definitely. But it has been a while since we've been, so maybe we have to check that out soon.
It's been a while since we've been because there's been no real investment and everything's sort of falling apart. So I'm really excited. Obviously, Rome wasn't built in a day and I'm not expecting anything to happen with the new owners anytime soon. But I'm really excited for the future of Drayton Manor.
Yeah,
hopefully someone will pour some money into what, for me, is one of my favourite parks in the UK.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, obviously, Thomas Land is fantastic and they've done a real good job there. But that's for kids. You know, it's for kids.
I miss a really good run on the haunting because it hasn't been maintained for a while. And I miss the pirates.
Pirate adventure. Amazing. Oh. I think they've had some good ride. Obviously, G-Force has gone, so they've only really got one major coaster, which was built in 1994. That's a little bit embarrassing that your major coaster is over 20 years old. They do have the best drop tower in the UK, maybe even Europe.
But
it's
they
amazing.
Don't have it open with half the options. Oh, sorry. Half the options anymore.
Well, we haven't been. They might all be open at the minute.
Last time I went, you couldn't go stand up flawless or even stand up.
It was only sit down last time.
Seated only.
Yeah, so that's not great.
It's just like an ice blast.
But that might... Well, no. No. Get me started. Ice blast.
A detonator.
Okay. I mean, it's triple the height, but...
No, I mean...
I know what you're saying. It is like a detonator. But still, some good individual stuff. I think they just need an overall investment and uplift of the park.
They need someone with a big purse and a big heart.
Oh, big purse. I would have said a big wallet, but... Sexist, I guess, isn't it? Sexist, guys.
You pig.
What a sexist pig. Right, let's end the episode there before we start arguing. Wow, okay. So that brings us to the end of the episode. A huge thank you for listening. Hannah, thanks for joining me back in the studio and talking about all about theme parks.
Thanks for having me.
It's been awesome, and we'll see you guys on the next episode of Coaster Track and the Scale Track Podcast. See you later, guys.